The following resource is presented as an outreach of Calvary Community Church, a Calvary Chapel in Phoenix, Arizona.
People often ask me, Mark, do you keep the Sabbath? My response is, the Sabbath keeps me. When you look at Genesis chapter 1, if you want to hold your place in Matthew and go back to the first chapter of Genesis, you see, as God is creating, it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And it says, in the evening and the morning were the first day. And then as you look at verse 7, it shows that God is creating, separating land from sea and all, the second day, and then the third day, and the fourth day. And each of the days, it says, in the evening and the morning were a fourth day, in the evening and the morning were a fifth day, evening and the morning after man was created, a sixth day, verse 31. And then when we come to chapter 2, verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their host. And by the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which he had created and made. Now, what is the emphasis there? Created and done. Completed, finished work, correct? Isn't that the emphasis that you see there in those verses? God finished the work, and then to show that the work is done, he let man enter into a Sabbath rest. And there's no indication that this rest was to end. It doesn't say, and the evening and the morning were the seventh day, does it? The evening and the morning formula is conspicuously absent from the Sabbath. Because when Adam and Eve were created, they entered into a Sabbath rest. All the work was done. God didn't say, well, you know, I've done most of the work, Adam, but you know, there's a tree over here that's still, you know, can you picture it? Here are trees still in crates, you know. There's a caterpillar over there, you know, this big thing. Now, you need to learn to run this, but, you know, when you can figure out how to run it and then plant the trees and everything will be done. You know, there wasn't anything left to do. Amen? It was done. I mean, all Adam and Eve can do is walk through this incredible planet. God finished the work. This garden, I don't know how big it was, but all they could do was enjoy the Garden of Eden. Wonderful work. Oh, look at this Eve. Oh, awesome. Wow. You know, they didn't look at it and say, you know, we need to add to that. That isn't enough. I think that maybe it's not quite finished. I think, you know, I think there's more for us to do. I really think we've got to do it all. You know, it's up to us. As long as we keep this garden, we will be in this garden. Some people talk about salvation that way, don't they? As though the work isn't done. As though they have to finish it. As though they have to maintain it. No, the work is finished and completed. Adam and Eve entered into a completed, finished rest. But sin interrupted that rest. And with sin, you recall that they ate of the forbidden fruit. With sin came the curse upon man and woman. The curse upon man was that now from the sweat of his brow he shall eat bread. Thorns and thistles will grow from the earth. In chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. And death would come upon those who dwell upon the earth. Curses of sweating and tears and the curse of labor. See, the Sabbath rest was broken. And you don't hear another word about the Sabbath the entire book of Genesis. You don't hear that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, anybody else kept the Sabbath, because they didn't. There was no Sabbath rest. You don't even hear a hope of it until after the liberation of the people from Egyptian slavery, when Israel is delivered and they're safely on the other side of the Red Sea. That then the Lord says, gather together around this mountain, and I'll give you my law. And there, God gives them a covenant sign, the Sabbath. It shall be a sign between me and you and your children forever, the sign of the Sabbath. And now God said that his people, Exodus 31:31, that his people were to keep the Sabbath, and they once a week could rest. A far cry from what Adam and Eve had, amen? Adam and Eve had a forever Sabbath. Now you had to work 6 days, then you could rest. Then it all started again. Having to work, then you could rest. Having to work, then you could rest. But important restrictions were also put upon the people as to how they should observe the Sabbath. They could light no fires, carry no burdens. They had to stay in their own place. The scripture says every man must stay in his own place. They were not to buy or sell on the Sabbath. These restrictions placed upon the people in their Sabbath observance. Other sacred days were also given to them, which all pointed to the Messiah. Now, Israel kept the Sabbath, and now Jesus comes on the scene, and we see him in Matthew chapter 11 claiming to be the Sabbath rest of the people of God. Jesus, speaking to those who are weary and heavy laden, says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your souls." Finally, the one whom the Sabbath was picturing came, and Jesus offers rest. He is our rest. Hebrews chapter 4 says, "There remains therefore a Sabbath keeping for the people of God." And the Sabbath keeping, Hebrews 4 says, we'll look at it, might as well look at it. The Sabbath keeping is not a day, because the day simply was a signpost pointing forward to the reality. The Sabbath was a sign. It shall be a sign between you and me. Now, if I see a sign that says Phoenix, 30 miles, when I get to the sign, do I say to my family, "We've arrived, we're here"? What if our special musical guest tonight had stopped at the sign, gotten all his stuff out, got his guitar out, and started to wait for us to show up at 6 o'clock? What would have happened? A few coyotes might have shown up. You see, he would have stopped short of reality, correct? Signs, their purpose, we don't disparage signs. We don't say, you know, I don't. But what we say is the sign's whole job is to point toward the truth. And once it's done that, its job is over. Once I've come to Phoenix, I don't hang on to the sign. And if I was hanging on to the sign, I'd be crazy. And the same with Galatians. What did it just say? I don't know what I said. But Colossians chapter 2, 16 says that the Sabbath was a shadow of Christ. The substance is Christ. The Sabbath was a shadow. The substance belongs to Christ. And you remember last week, I had Leslie come up here and I said, "Now, here's my wife. Here's the shadow she casts." Now, and remember, I got down on the floor, made a fool of myself. I started kissing her shadow. Does that make sense? No. When I see her shadow approaching, I can think, "Oh, wow, great, Leslie's coming. I'm going to kiss her." But I don't think, "Oh, great, Leslie's shadow is coming. I'm going to kiss it." And yet some people are that way with the Sabbath. They have the shadow, and they've never, ever gotten to the substance. Looking at Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, I just want to have you look at that. I said Hebrews. Keep your finger in Hebrews. You said, "I got a finger in Matthew, too." Be flexible. Colossians chapter 2, says in verse 16, "Let therefore no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to whom?" Christ. Who is the substance of a festival? Passover, Shavuot, any of the feast days of Israel, Yom Kippur. Who's the substance? Christ. So don't get all in these arguments. You can get in arguments with people today over, are you keeping this? Are you doing that? Are you doing it? Look, I've got Jesus. I've got it all. He is my Passover. He is my Feast of Tabernacles. He is my Day of Atonement. He is my New Year. He's everything. If you want, for the sake of the beauty of the type, to enjoy some of these shadows, enjoy them, but don't put the shadow on everybody else. We want to live in the sunshine of the full revelation of God's grace. Christ's shadows are beautiful because they're cast by Him. How could they be anything but beautiful, right? But they are not His substance. His substance is more excellent still. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 says that the children of Israel out in the wilderness were keeping the Sabbath. They kept it for 40 years and never ever kept it. Because the true nature of the Sabbath is not day keeping. It's a personal relationship with the Lord. See, the Sabbath day was given not because the Sabbath day was important, but because what it represents is a picture of salvation's importance. It represents a ceasing from your works, because we can't enter into heaven by our good works, and entering into Messiah, Christ's finished work. It says in chapter 3 of Hebrews, verse 12, "Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart in following away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called" what? Okay. "Lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we had hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end, while it is said..." Here's the word again. "Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked Me." Now, when and who provoked Him? He goes on to say, "For who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Remember when the unbelieving Israel, they were punished, sentenced basically to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because they wouldn't go in by faith into the promised land. You remember the story? "And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? Ultimately, they all died, that whole generation, with the exception of who? Two people. Caleb and Joshua, right. And to whom did He swear that they should not enter His rest, but to those who were disobedient? And so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore," chapter 4, verse 1, "let us fear lest, while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had the gospel," good news, "preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard didn't profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard." You can hear the gospel if you don't believe it, if you don't receive it. It's falling upon deaf ears, hardened hearts. For, verse 3, "for we who have believed enter that rest, just as He said, as I swore My wrath, they," that is Israel in the wilderness, "shall not enter My rest." Now, Do you see what he's saying? He's saying they were keeping the Sabbath that whole time in the wilderness, but never entered his rest. Every seventh day they were keeping the Sabbath, but they never entered his rest. So were they keeping the Sabbath? They were keeping the day, but they never understood what the day represented. They never ever caught the type, caught the picture. They never ever let the Sabbath keep them. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested from the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, he says, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter it because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day. All right, here it is. Here's the day. Saturday, right? No. Sunday. Yeah. Sunday's the new Sabbath. No. What is it? Today. Hey, wherever you are, today's today, right? Today, you can enter his rest. The rest of God is not a day, it's a state. It's a relationship. It's entering into the gospel. Again, he fixes a certain day today, saying through David after so long a time, as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, that's Joshua when they went into the promised land, if the promised land was rest, and it wasn't, he would not have spoken of another day after that. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest, or literally the Greek says a keeping of the Sabbath, for the people of God. And what is it? Verse 10, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. Have you entered the rest? I want to share again the things that were forbidden on the Sabbath. Working. Lighting of fires. Moving out of your place. Buying or selling. You say, that doesn't have anything to do with me. Oh, it sure does. If you have entered into Jesus, the Sabbath rest, he is the Sabbath rest. Jesus doesn't want you carrying any burdens. He wants to carry the burdens for you. Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. My burden is light. Lighting fires. You don't have to make it happen. You ever go to some of these churches where you really feel like they're rubbing two sticks together to try to ignite the Holy Spirit? It's like, we're not going to make it happen. We can't light the fire. In the Sabbath rest, Jesus ignites the fire. It's interesting, in the temple, fire from God would come down and consume sacrifices. At times, not all the time. But when the temple was dedicated, the Lord burned the sacrifice. The fire, he ignited it. Staying in your own place. Are you all over the place? Do you know your place? Are you trying to do something you're not called to do? The Sabbath in Christ says, relax, I'm in control. Stay put. Cease striving and know that I am God. Buying and selling. There is nothing you can do to work or earn or deserve your salvation. And that's what being in Jesus' Sabbath means. I can't earn it. I can't deserve it. It's all a gift from him. That's what all these rules were pointing to. The Sabbath rest in Jesus. You know, when it comes to Sabbath keeping, a lot of groups that are keeping the Sabbath today are Johnny-come-latelys, because Jews have been keeping the Sabbath a lot longer than anybody else, correct? And if you understand how the Sabbath begins in a Jewish home and how a Sabbath ends, it's pretty insightful. And I don't have time to tell you how it begins, except to tell you that every Shabbat, which is the Jewish word for Sabbath, begins with the lighting of two candles. And in between the two candles, there's bread and wine. And there on every Jewish home is a perfect symbol of the Messiah himself, the bread and the wine. The bread is challah. It's a twisted, braided, three braided into one. I wonder what that means. sitting on the table, and two candles. One represents the rest of the Garden of Eden. The other represents the rest that Messiah has brought. They say it means remember and observe. However, I wonder if that's truly what God has in mind. But the way the Sabbath ends, on sundown on Saturday, there's a little ceremony called the Havdalah. And the Havdalah, they take a Havdalah candle. This is one. It's a braided candle. Sometimes it's three braided into one. And because there's several wicks, this one has three wicks, four wicks actually, it makes quite a little torch, doesn't it? And as the torch is lit, prayers and all are said, and I'm not going to go through it because it's not pertinent to what I want to share. But this represents the light of the Shabbat, the light of the Sabbath, all that the Sabbath has meant in Jewish history and all. But what they do is they take a cup of wine, they take the Kaddish cup, they bless it, Baruch Hashem Adonai, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Pri HaGafen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread, fruit from of the vine. And then they take the cup, they pour it to overflowing, okay, because the blessings of God overflow. And then they take what represents the Sabbath, and they point it to the cup, and this is the end of the Sabbath. They take the Sabbath, and this is the way the Sabbath ends. They extinguish the Sabbath in the wine. The Sabbath is taken. The Sabbath is taken. The light of the Sabbath is pointing toward the wine now, which represents the what? The blood of Messiah. The Sabbath points to the blood, and then the Sabbath extinguishes itself in the blood. This goes on in every observant Jewish home around the world. What are they saying? Well, perhaps they don't understand what they're saying, but certainly we do. That the Sabbath itself is an arrow pointing to Messiah. The Sabbath itself is a sign that points to Messiah's finished work, his precious blood that saves us, that redeems us, and that the Sabbath does not have life in itself or an existence in itself. The Sabbath's purpose was to point to that finished work, and once that purpose is finished, the Sabbath no longer is what is important. What's important is what it pointed to, and that is the finished work of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the Sabbath rest. We thank you, Lord, that we can enter that rest and cease our works. Thank you, Lord, that you have entered into this world, working for us, building for us a new creation. And as Adam and Eve entered into a finished work, we too can enter into your finished work, the new creation. And we enter into a Sabbath. There is nothing we can add to what you have done. There is nothing that needs to be fixed or mended or added on to. We are called to enjoy your finished, completed work. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, this is wonderful news. We thank you that this is something we never have to lose. Thank you, Lord, that this rest abides with us. This rest remains with us. It's not something that we'll leave after 24 hours. It's not dependent upon the rotation of the earth or the rising and setting of the sun. This rest is based upon your rising from the dead. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
This Bible study resource has been presented as an outreach of Calvary Community Church, a Calvary Chapel in Phoenix, Arizona. We're located just a half mile south of Thunderbird on the southbound access road of the I-17 freeway. We meet for worship Saturday evenings at 6, Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15 a.m. Our Sunday evening celebration service is at 6, and we meet midweek for Bible study Wednesday nights at 7. For more information about our ministries, we invite you to log on the internet to www.calvarypHX.com. Our phone numbers are 602-973-4768 or toll-free 888-970-3030. You can email us for more information at calvary@calvarypHX.com. And now it's our prayer that you continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.